Gichiyayag Bizendawya, our elders. Listen to them. This show focuses on personal history of our Ojibwe elders. The elders that are sharing their stories on this program are from White Earth Reservation as well as other reservations throughout Minnesota. Gichiyayag Bizendawya, our elders. Listen to them.
Bonjour, my name is Donna Nini. I'm from the White Earth Reservation. I grew up, though, in Frazee, Minnesota, and I came back to White Earth for my adult years. My family consists of my husband, my daughter, and three sons, two grandsons, and I come from my mom and my dad, who are Margaret Elizabeth Foster, and my dad, who is Henry Johnson. I was raised by my stepdad after my ma died in Frazee, and lived then with a little sister and two little brothers, and off and on, other relatives. I did not have too much exposure to the Ojibwe culture growing up off the reservation. And up until I was about 5 years old, I believe I pretty much lived with my grandma and my ma. My dad was pretty much out of the picture. Grandma and my ma used to talk a lot of Ojibwe that I remember. We picked up a few words here and there that I recall, and Grandpa didn't talk too much, as I remember. It was mostly my ma and my grandma speaking the Ojibwe language. Nobody really taught it to us. You picked it up wherever anybody was speaking it, and you kind of got a gist for the words that they were saying by the expressions on their face and their actions, their emotions, their body language did a lot of the speaking for them. My mom married my stepdad when I was 5, and then we lived in Little Fork, where he was a pulp cutter. And then we must have lived there for about a year, because when we came back, then we moved to Frazee. Growing up over there, I mean, a lot of people knew we were Native, and I don't remember really anybody giving me grief about being Native or anything. I mean, everybody was really pretty nice to me. I do remember once I got into, I think it was like junior high, there was this one boy who I just, to this day, I'm sorry, no, I think he passed away, but he started pulling my braids, and I would wear one big braid in the back a lot of times, or pigtails, and my hair was very, very long, and my mom braided it, and I remember him yanking on it and calling me squaw, and that hurt me. I mean, it made me feel sad. It, you know, more than anything, it just made me feel sad. As I got older, and I'm like, he ain't no better than me. I ain't no better than him. But that was really the only, there was only one person that ever did that. And really, I wish back then, I didn't know anything about different programs that they'd have for Indian kids in school, but like they have, like, Johnson O'Malley, and I don't even know what all kinds of programs they got now, Indian Club and different things like that. I wish they would have had something like that back then, because maybe I would have joined something, because I didn't belong to anything. I didn't join sports, or we lived only 9 miles out, but with my stepdad working every day and into the evening, we really didn't have any way to go into town. I don't remember going to any powwows back then, but I do remember my sister Diane and I going outside to Grandma's clothesline And I must have seen a jingle dress somewhere along the line, though I don't remember where. But I remember taking Grandma's clothespins. She had all her clothespins lined up from tree to tree on the clothesline with a big stick holding it up in the air. And we headed out the back door, Diane and I, and we took Grandma's clothespins. We peeked around, made sure nobody was looking, and we peeked around and we put those clothespins on the bottom of our skirts. Back then, all the girls wore skirts and dresses. And so we put all these clothespins around our skirts as close as we could, and we jumped around and tried to make them jingle. They didn't really jingle. They just kind of clinked together until Grandma looked out the window and saw us, and then we got, uh-oh. You kids, put those clothespins back. Of course, they were valuable for Grandma because I don't know where her income came from, but they were valuable because they helped her do the work she had to do. Grandma was the matriarch. She was, I think, pretty much the one who kept it all together. My grandma and grandpa, they had a little house and a beautiful yard. They always took care of it. I was impressed with grandpa's always taking care of his yard, mowing, filing the blades on his push lawn mower, beautiful lilac bushes and different little berry trees in the yard. I'm gonna cry. They just always took care of what they had. They didn't have much, but what they had, they took care of. And this is something that I just want to impress upon our young people today, is there's a reason you have something. It's a blessing. You take care of it. Living on the reservation and seeing beautiful places and then awful places. After I had my family and raised them, and they were into their mischief too and doing good things and bad things, and they've all had various jobs, and just to see them grow and to become adults and to experience the good, the bad, and the ugly of life and learning too that what you have you take care of. But as in any place though, you know, you experience your good days and bad days, and sometimes they're your own fault why it's a bad day. But we oftentimes ask, why were we created? Why? I mean, I ask myself that sometimes still today. I'm like, and I think so much of what is missing today in so many lives is that strength that we need to find from our higher power to build us up, to lift us up. That higher power is there for a reason, and I pray a lot. I pray for my family. I pray for my friends, all my relatives. I ask for guidance to guide my family members, my friends, the reservation, our leaders, to guide them in the right direction, to fulfill what our Creator has for us, to build us, to keep building us. Every day is a different day. I like to write poetry, so I have to write it when I think it, and I have to wake up at night sometimes and jot things down. And this is about children. This came to me one time when I was sitting at a Head Start conference, the mega conference it was called back then, and it's just called Choices, and it's goes like this. Same child, different day. Same child acting a different way. Words that cut deep as a knife. These words go with him for the rest of his life. So choose your words carefully, as they will come back. The way you speak to your child determines how he will act.
This program was produced by Jodan Rozo for Niji Broadcasting. Music by Tony Duncan and Darren Yazzie. Funded by the voters of Minnesota through an appropriation from the Legacy Art Cultural Heritage Fund. Gitchi Ayag Bizendawya, our elders. Listen to them.